Hi, church. Let me begin today by reading out of Luke chapter 2. I'd like to read part of the Christmas story for us. And it says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's pray this morning. Father, as we step into a season of celebrating the birth of your Son, we thank you so much for the gift that your Son, Jesus, is. For all the gifts that we get in our life from him. For the salvation that we get. For the hope that we get. For the peace and the joy and the love and the life and life to the full and the gift of your Holy Spirit. God, we thank you for so many things that we get from your Son. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise your name today. And we pray that we can just look a little bit more like your Son as we leave this place today. In your precious name. Amen. Church, today we are talking about peace. Continuing on in our Advent celebration, speaking about peace. And I want to go back to a verse that we just read in verse 14. The angels begin singing to the shepherds, singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." This word peace is a very popular word if you look around at Christmas decorations. Man, peace is everywhere. There's peace on pillows. There's peace on ornaments on trees. The word peace gets used over and over and over again. Yet, when some of you gather this year to celebrate Christmas, to celebrate the birth of Jesus, there will probably be a lot of people around you who don't have any peace in their hearts. No matter how much we talk about peace, there's many people I'm around every day, even in the church, who lack peace in their hearts. They lack peace around them. It's quite common. In fact, when we were just celebrating Thanksgiving not that long ago, maybe some of you had a family who got together, they all circled around, and as they're sitting around talking after Thanksgiving meal, maybe your family was like, "Man, what a great world we live in. Everything is just aces. I mean, politics going well, local government going well, football going well." I mean, if you're a Vikings or Chiefs fan, we're both in the same boat. Not very peaceful. But the fact is, as we begin to gather with people, we realize there's a lot of people who are not at peace in their hearts, and there's also a lot of things in our world that don't feel very peaceful. On a global scale, we have things like famine, hunger, wars. On a personal level, there's people all around us who are going through things that are not peaceful, that lack peace in their hearts. Whether it's troubles at work, troubles with family, troubles in school, whatever it is, there's people all around us who lack peace. Yet one of the key promises of Jesus is peace. If we go back to John chapter 14, before Jesus leaves this earth and goes to the cross, he says to his disciples, "All of this I have spoken to you while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jesus promises peace. And this peace, he says, cannot be taken away. And it's not like how the world gives peace. It's a different kind of peace. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's a peace that is of God, not of man. It's a peace that is dependent on who is in me, not what is going on around me. And so today, as we continue to unpack this idea of peace, to set up our message today, in Jesus, we get peace. We get three kinds of peace we're going to talk about today. First of all, we get peace with God. We get a peace of God in the Holy Spirit, and we get the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. We're going to talk about it today. Isaiah 9:6, as we just read, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Our Jesus is the Prince of Peace, the one who brings peace into our lives. And the first type of peace he brings is peace with God. If you're newer to the Christmas story, maybe you've heard these things 1,000 times as you were growing up. But if you're newer to the Bible and the Christmas story, one of the key components that's talked about quite a bit in the Christmas story is the fact that Jesus was born into a virgin, the Virgin Mary. And maybe you've heard that your whole entire life, and you're like, okay, well, why was that? Maybe you've never really understood why that happened the way that it did. And here's why. Jesus came not just to come and kind of show off and go, "Hey, look, I can do amazing things." He came to be a sacrifice for our sins. And so he came to a virgin because he was going to be this perfect, blameless sacrifice. Because in that day, the way that God had set everything up with the Jewish people was this way. He says, when you sin, there has to be a sacrifice. And that sacrifice needs to be blameless. A pure lamb would be the ultimate sacrifice. And Jesus came as the pure lamb to be the sacrifice for all the sins of the world. And so Jesus comes, and in doing that, he gives us peace with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this: "God made him," Jesus, "who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." This is called imputed righteousness. This is the idea that Jesus came and he died and his blood was spilled on the cross, so that when God looks at you, he doesn't see all the stupid mistakes you make. He doesn't see whatever attempts you have at righteousness. He sees the blood of Jesus. We have the imputed righteousness of Jesus by his sacrifice. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, we have this peace with God. The Bible says that while we are separate from God in our sins, we are the enemies of God. We're separate from God. We're unable to draw close to God, not because God doesn't want that, but because he can't associate himself with sin. It's like oil and water. It's two separate things. The Bible says that because of Jesus' sacrifice, we get peace with God. We just read a second ago of the angels singing, "Peace on whom his favor rests." because of Jesus' sacrifice, Jesus comes and gives us peace with God, allows us to have relationship with him. His favor rests upon us. We have peace with God. We have relationship with God. We have friendship with God. We can become sons and daughters of God. And that's really good news, church. That's a piece of this, of the Christmas story I think we often miss. We talk about the peace that comes to us. That's great. But I get peace with God. When we really understand how amazing that is, it changes everything. And then on top of that, we get a peace of God. Ephesians chapter 2. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups, speaking about Jews and Gentiles, one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to those who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Oh, man. There's a lot to unpack here. We've talked about this scripture a couple times in the last few months, so I won't get too much into this. But the reality is, because of Jesus, we get peace. We get peace with God. But then also we become the dwelling, when we become a follower of Jesus, we become the dwelling places of God by his Spirit. Sometimes we talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is this thing that when you become a follower of Jesus, when you fully surrender to him, when you're a fully surrendered follower of Jesus Christ, what ends up happening is, the Bible says, you get a new nature. As this is represented by baptism, you are passing away your old self and being raised to life with Christ through baptism. And in that, you are walking in a new self. And what you get in that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit living and dwelling inside of you. As it says here, you become the dwelling places of God by his Spirit. Not only are you called to a higher standard, you're able to live out that standard because you have the Holy Spirit working in you. Not only are you called to rejoice in all circumstances, you have the ultimate creator of joy, the Holy Spirit, living inside of you. You're called to follow God's commands, but you have the Spirit of God living inside of you. You're called to be courageous and more than conquerors, but you literally have the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead living inside of you. As believers in Jesus, this is a big deal. You get peace with God, but you also get a piece of God. You get the Spirit of God living inside of you. That's an amazing gift. And here's the big one. We get the peace of God. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that isn't like anything else. It's not peace as the world gives. It's peace as God gives. It's different than any other peace. Now, as I mentioned before, this past week, my wife gave birth to a new sermon illustration, or baby, new baby. It is helpful, though, how many sermon illustrations come from childhood. Very, very helpful. But when we went to the hospital, my wife brought this thing that is a staple for us to bring to the hospital. It's a portable speaker. Because every time my wife will listen to worship music, while she's going through contractions, she'll be singing out God's praises. And it's an amazing and beautiful thing to watch. This time she was doing it again, singing out, "Give me Jesus. You can have this whole world, but give me Jesus," while she's bouncing on a little exercise ball, going through a little contraction. It's an amazing thing. We worship, listen to worship music most of the time, except when baby was taking a while and she listened to some, I think it was Baby by Justin Bieber, to try to kind of shake the baby out a little bit. But I love watching that moment because my wife is so beautiful, and she's especially beautiful in those moments where she's just pouring out her praises to God. My wife has such a great voice. But I remember the first time we ever did it. First time we had a child, and the first time she was singing out these worship songs with a room. It's just such a cool witness to people. Like, my wife just sitting there just singing out praises. And one of my favorite moments is she was mid-contraction with her first child, and she's singing out, "It is well with my soul." While she's laying there going, "It is well," and she's singing it out, but like, you can tell the contraction is coming along. To be fair, this wasn't active labor yet. So, I mean, she wasn't like, my wife isn't perfect. She's not just like, oh, everything. But in that moment of contraction, she's singing out, "It is well with my soul." And I love that picture. I always have had that ingrained in my brain because I think it's such a perfect picture of what peace, the peace of God actually looks like. It is well with my soul, even when a human head is coming out of me. It is well with my soul, even when life hurts. It is well with my soul, even when people don't like me. It is well with my soul, even when I don't feel well. It is well with my soul, no matter what's going on around me. That's what the peace of God is. It is peace that is beyond my circumstances. It starts with my peace with God. If I have peace with God, I don't care what's going on around me. Just like Jesus, when he gets into the boat with his disciples and goes across to the other side, there's this moment where the storm rages around them. And they get so scared. And they turn to Jesus, "Don't you care about us?" And when they get done, Jesus rebukes them. He gets up and he rebukes the waves, calms the storm, but he turns to them and goes, what are you doing? Why? Because at the end of the day, when I really get who Jesus is, it doesn't matter what storms are going around my boat. It matters that Jesus is in my boat. If he's in my boat, it doesn't matter what's going on around me. Peace is a person. The person of Jesus Christ is drawing close to him. It's about who's in my boat, not about what's going on around my boat, about the storms of life happening around me. The peace of God isn't based on my circumstances. It's a gift from God. It's having peace with him. It's having a peace of God. It's about having the Holy Spirit living inside of me. And then I get this thing called the peace of God, and I can be at peace. No matter what's happening, it is well with my soul. Man, the closer I draw to God, it doesn't matter all the other things that happen. It doesn't mean that those things don't matter. It doesn't mean that fight that you're having right now, that pain that you're feeling right now, that diagnosis you've gotten recently, doesn't mean it doesn't matter. It just means that the closer you get to God, you can get to this point where you have peace. This sucks, but my God is better. This is big, but my God is bigger. This stinks, but my God is perfect, and he can make all things good. He can bring the good out of all circumstances. Philippians 4. It says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. So Philippians talks about this peace of God that transcends all understanding, that will guard our hearts and minds. Isaiah says that God promises he will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. This Hebrew word here is smach, and it's a word that we can translate it a lot of different ways, but a common translation, as you look at the rest of the Bible, is to lean upon something. You're steadfast because, he says, you're steadfast because they trust in you. They are smach. They are leaning upon you, leaning upon God, is what Isaiah is writing here. And what I have found in life is that where you're leaning matters. I don't know how many of you, some of you are getting a little older, some of you are still younger than me, but I'm kind of in a phase of my life where I don't fall super often, because I've reached this point in my life where I'm smart enough to know, like, what things I can't do anymore. except for Thanksgiving. I figured it out on Thanksgiving. I have not fallen in a long time because, once again, I'm not like my kids. I'm not made out of rubber, so I just avoid certain things. But I decided to try to hop a fence on Thanksgiving. And I tell you what, I have not tripped and fallen like really hard in a while because, once again, I don't do things where I can fall. I'm just at that point in life, and it's just not worth it. But I decided to go over our back fence because we had parked some cars behind our house, and when I wasn't carrying anything, it was fine. But when I was actually carrying things, it became a lot harder. So not only did I rip my pants, I bit it in the dirt hard and sent stuff flying everywhere. It was terrible. But I, you know, reflecting on that, there's something I've found in life that's important when it comes to falling. Where you're leaning matters. And I know some of you are like, this is the stupidest revelation ever. Yeah, we know. But think about this for a second. Where you fall in life tends to be dictated by what direction you're leaning. And I have also found that with people, the same is true. Some people, when they fall in life, when life gets crazy, when they lack peace, and there's a lack of peaceful circumstances around them, some people fall into temptation, doubt, despair, anger. Other people seem to fall into this peace that surpasses all understanding. They fall into worship. They fall into forgiveness. They fall into love. Why is that? It's because of where they're leaning. If we go to Proverbs chapter 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I've found this in life. Peace is a product of what I'm leaning on. What I'm leaning on matters. If I'm leaning on my own self, I will find myself with a lack of peace. I will find myself frustrated. I'll find myself angry. But if I'm leaning on God when life gets tough, then I will find this peace that surpasses all understanding. When things are going crazy, I'll be at peace in my heart. I'll be at peace with God. Because the reality is this: peace, true peace, comes from surrender, not control. True peace in our life comes from surrender, not control. Surrendering to God and I get his peace, or trying to control everything to create my own peace, which doesn't work very well. See, so often we believe that peace is created. If we really think about it, we think peace is created by control. If I can control my circumstances, if I can just control my spouse, if I can just control my kids, if I can just control this person over here, if I can just control my finances better, if I can just control the housing market a little bit, if I can just control this or that or who's in the White House or whatever it is, I will finally have peace. But so many people, they get the thing that they're trying to control under control, and then what do you know? It's like whack-a-mole. Another thing pops up, doesn't it? Over and over and over again. I experienced this last night. We have been home, like I said, we got home on Monday with our daughter. And boy, that first day of having a newborn baby. Whew, that's fun. It's awesome. Second day, okay, yeah, didn't get a lot of sleep last night, but we're good. Third day, fourth day, yeah, okay. So speeding up, now we get to last night. Everything comes to a head. Mom and Dad have not had as much sleep as they are used to. My children have not gotten as much attention as they are used to. They've also been inside a lot. We're not having another kid in winter. It's going to be summer every time now, I told my wife. They need to go outside. And we reach this point last night where I'm trying to create peace in our house because mom is trying to rest. Baby is trying to sleep. And so I'm trying to control things. Stop that. Stop making that mess. Stop yelling. Stop doing that. Stop poking your sister in the face. She's sleeping. She doesn't like that. Stop poking your mom in the face. Stop poking your brother. Just stop poking people. Stop it. And I'm just trying, and it gets to this point where consequences are being doled out left and right. Dad's getting frustrated. I'm getting so angry. Like, just stop. Knock it off. And I realize, okay, I need to take a break. take a break, and I actually come here to the church to work on this message, ironically. And I get to this line that I had already had down here. I'm like, oh, peace comes from surrender, not control. I am so angry right now. I'm so frustrated with my kids right now. Well, two of them. One I really like. She's pretty awesome. But two of them got some attitude issues. Because I'm so frustrated because I'm trying to control everything. I just need it to go this certain way, and I feel like I lack peace. But when I truly surrender and go, okay, God, I need you. I need your peace in my life. Suddenly, I can find myself being at peace in the midst of the craziness, in the midst of my kids not listening super well. It doesn't mean I don't implement some control or implement some consequences to say, no, this isn't going to happen. You're not going to do this way. But how I parent, how I live, how I interact in the midst of those situations changes when I surrender everything to Jesus. And so as we close today, I want to invite you to consider this question. Do you have peace in your life, a true peace that surpasses all understanding? Because if you look at your life and you go, I don't really have that. I need that, but I don't really have that. A possibility is this. Maybe you just need to draw closer to God. Maybe there's some understandings that you don't have when it comes to peace. But maybe for some of you, you might be in a spot where it's time to surrender. Maybe there's a piece of your life that you don't have peace in that needs to be surrendered. Or maybe for the first time, today's the day where you step across the line, surrender to God and give him everything. And accept his son as his ultimate gift in your life that will ultimately give you peace with God when we come and we confess our sins to God and say, God, I'm coming. I'm a sinner. I'm unable to do this on my own. I need you. I need a Savior. We're saying, listen, I can't do this on my own, but because of Jesus, I can have peace with God. I can't create peace with God on my own. But also coming and saying, God, I want your Holy Spirit. I want to be changed and transformed into a new creation, having this peace of God come into my life and change everything, giving me life and life to the full, making me a new creation in Christ Jesus. And hoping ultimately gets to the point where I have this peace of God that surpasses all my understanding, that guards my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. If that's you today, I just want to invite you to make that stand, so to speak, to make that moment of surrender. Whatever that looks like for you, I'm going to pray here in a moment. I'd love for you to pray with me. If you bow your heads, let's come before our Father. And if there's anyone here today who is in a moment where they truly want to surrender to God and give him everything and accept his peace, maybe it's the first time, maybe it's the 100th time. Whatever it is, I want to invite you to, in your own hearts, pray along with me. As we say, God, we need you. God, we surrender to you. God, we want to give you everything. We are unable to create peace with you. It's only by your Son. We're unable to create forgiveness or earn forgiveness or earn grace. But it's a free gift that comes only from your Son. And God, we accept it now. We thank you for it now. And God, we surrender. We surrender everything in our life. We want you to have everything in our life. We want you to take it all. God, you are so good, and we want to surrender all to you right now. And God, as we do this, Father, we ask for every heart that's here that lacks peace, I pray that they would truly get a peace from you today. They would truly get a piece of you today. They would all ultimately have peace with you today as they leave this place. If there's anyone who's making that decision for the first time today, God, I thank you for them. I praise you for them. I praise you for how you're working in their life and drawing them to you by your Holy Spirit. God, you are so good. You're so awesome, and you're so amazing. Thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.